Yeah, I have Mana back on. This is awesome. I love seeing your stuff all the time.
Thank you. I'm glad. It feels like shouting into the void most of the time, so it's lovely to know it's being seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. You know, I always try and check view of stuff on Spotify because that's where I listen to comedy mostly, but like TikTok and stuff, you're always coming up with new stuff, which is great. Oh, that's great.
Somebody Husband, Somebody's Dad by Alvin Newsom, and No Contest, Thank You, Ross, was released in June of this year.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool that you gave some people spotlight. That's awesome. Oh, yeah, that's great.
There's another cool project coming out this year as well that I'm super, super thrilled about. So we'll see how it all works out.
Right.
And then obviously Unfiltered is coming out this year, and The Fire Joke is streaming now on all platforms for me.
Yeah, I listened to the Fire Joke. It was fantastic. And, you know, it's just so tough to talk about subjects like that. And, like, I think that you handled it masterfully. Right, and I can just, like, yeah, I have no idea why I brought it up, how to talk about it even. I'm like, this is a terrible thing to do when you're autistic, Richard, is to try and talk about the subject with someone. But I liked the bit, and I just thought it was done masterfully, like I said, and, you know, it's being able to put something, like, that's a great thing about comedy, is it's so cathartic, and it's like... Oh, yeah, it must have been. Was it something that, when you brought it up, was it something that you did sort of in the middle of your set, or was it, like, closer to the beginning? Right, that makes sense.
And the domestic violence joke, ultimately, is kind of pretty fun. It's more of a fun joke.
Right.
I know that's so weird to say, but it's genuinely, like, those were some of the hardest material I've written, but the fire joke, I said it once live after putting it out, but the domestic violence joke, I'll do anywhere, any day of the week. Like, that one's fun and easy, and unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
And it's, like, it's long. I think that track is 9 minutes and 55 seconds, so it's also, like, a lot.
Yeah,
so the fire
Yeah. I just can't imagine how, like, I've been doing it a little bit now. I've been trying to write this, like, special album or whatever for 3 years. And it's just, like, putting stuff together is the hardest. I didn't realize that. It's like, oh, there has to be a narrative. There has to be something.
This album is coming out. So it's definitely the heaviest album that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, I
Right.
So I literally had a chart. I had a very big, like, Charlie Kelly style whiteboard type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
With everybody in my life who had died, and then I had it branch out to all the jokes I'd gotten from those individual deaths over that time period.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
I had all this stuff drawn out, and I was like, one person has to die. All right, it's going to be my dad. So some of the death jokes are associated with just my dad's death, when in reality, some of those jokes might be about my friend who died, or my father-in-law who died.
Right, that's... Right, at least you take all that into consideration. I mean, it's a lot to do. I mean, I know that I probably asked this when I last interviewed you, but how long have you been doing stand-up for?
So, really, I started with doing stand-up when I moved to Texas to do it. So, my first time on stage ever was in 2013.
Ah. Right.
That was part of it, the hope for a bigger scene and more opportunity for growth, which has been clearly beneficial for me. Like, it's the best thing I ever did was moving down to Portland, Texas. But really, I would say since 2015, like, once I came down to DFW, I really started pursuing an active working, because in Fort Wayne, when I was there, obviously there's a more thriving scene now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have the same sort of...
There wasn't a career track that existed. And down here right. In DFW, there are so many clubs, there are so many different positions, and, like, there are actual MCs and teachers and headliners, and there's kind of
right.
Like a track to success and to hitting the next level. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say since 2015 moving here, for sure. And then I started falling out at the end of 2019, which, obviously,
right.
Pivoted to having a closeout comedy podcast, and then released Unstable in 2021. 1/1/21 was Unstable. 12/22/21, I recorded Unprecedented, released at 4/29, and then recorded Unfiltered in 12/22. So.
Wow. So you've been really, like, on a roll, like, with stuff. That must have been... Right. You know, and... The thing is, like, there's life in between that. Like, you know, I think that's one of the things, like, that we sort of romanticize, and then we forget that that's what people deal with, is we're like, oh, I want all this success, and it's like, do you really want all the stuff that comes with it? All the traveling, all the stuff.
You know, I'm not going to leave Texas too much, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Right. I was able to go to Texas. Oh, wow. I'm so envious. Right. Yeah. you're so lucky that you get to have those places. You know, I'm in New Jersey and we have like 3 comedy clubs and they're very hard to get like newer people in because they like a specific brand of comedy. And yeah, it's tough for us younger people. So like we kind of come up with like our own like kind of punk rock style comedy shows that are more independent based, I guess. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's always cool though to make your own path, and like I think that's really cool. Yeah, so I think I asked this before, but I you got to open for Kyle Kinane, right?
I did.
What was that like?
That was one of the highest low points of my life.
Ah.
Well, because I mentioned the Sorry for Your Loss tour, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
And so that was in January 2021, and then pretty quickly, in the next few months, it became obvious that my stepmother was not going to be cooperative with me on, like, getting some of my things, and I'll never understand why. I just don't have answers to those questions, is why I couldn't have my grandfather's military flag and, like, you know, my childhood photos. We'll never know. But it became this big legal thing, and so in August of 2022, the lawyers told me that I was going to have to appear in person for legal mediation in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm.
And they gave me, like, 2 weeks' notice, and I said, interesting.
Oh.
So I planned the Sorry for Your Loss tour based around that mediation date. And so at the absolute most stressful time of my life, I did a fundraiser, did a lot of recording and interviews for a separate project that's still being worked on,
mm-hmm.
and told jokes all across the country on the way up to Indiana, and then, you know, came back from the Sorry for Your Loss tour, and then a few weeks later recorded Unfiltered. However, when I got back from the Sorry for Your Loss tour trying to settle my dad's estate, literally, I don't think a week had passed. Like, I got my family stuff all organized and cleaned up on a Saturday.
Wow.
Sunday, we found my father-in-law passed
mm-hmm.
in his home. And then Monday, I got the call that I could open for Kyle Kinane, who is my all-time comedy hero, icon.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Loved him so much. And he was an absolute delight to work with, but it was just incredibly stressful because, like, what a huge, wonderful opportunity that I went over the moon about that the improv extended to me, but also, like, I was going through a dead man's house the entire week leading up to that and planning a funeral. So
wow.
It was a lot for me.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
But then Taylor Swift also released Midnight, so it was all fine. A new Taylor Swift album came out, got me through it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And that must have you always been able to kind of move that to stage a lot? Like, with your comedy, have you always kind of been able to process stuff quickly enough to make bits? Like, is that... Right.
The amount of writing that I've done in 2 years is, it's not lost on me, so it's a weird experience to also be your own producer and editor,
mm-hmm.
because I think before I did my own albums, I wasn't fully aware of how quickly I do write material, and so like, it's weird when I edit my own thing, because I have to step back and look at
Right. Oh, yeah, I can imagine. It just must be so much work. And
I helped a lot of other people, and in doing that, that helped me. So, in between, so Unprecedented was the first album that I really fully edited on my own, and it's not very good. Like, the audio quality is whatever it was, because I was sick with COVID, appropriately enough.
Oh. Right.
But then I did 8 other comedy albums for my friends. I think 8 in between Unprecedented and Unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, like, a marked difference in the quality of production between all of the albums I've put out since 2021.
Right. Yeah, I love your first album. It's really great. And, It's just, like, it's cool to see that, like, it's also, I love seeing the progression. I love the other stuff. And seeing that progression of comics is so cool. It's like, okay, you just get more stuff. It's like, okay, I get to see more of your world and everything. And just that first album is so much, like, great writing and, like, the wordplay and everything. Like, you mentioned the audio. Like, I don't even notice that. I just am, like, I'm always so fascinated with how that comes together. Were they, I know there's a word for it, but like, were they in order? Were the bits mostly in order of like how they are usually in your set, or were they kind of switched around?
So Unstable was done all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know it lives on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So I hype myself up, go, just say it right once. That's all you need to do is say it right one time.
Mm-hmm.
So Unstable was, the track titles were already done and ready. It's named, and I did it in the way that I wanted to do it. I cut some stuff out from Unstable. And then Unprecedented, I named all the track titles after. But I had an idea of what I wanted to do, because I did an entire
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of lovingly called it my glitch album. The way that I announced that was I made the cover art for it. I've taken the photos for it in April because I knew I was going to do Unfiltered and I needed a photo project. So that's why on the cover of Unprecedented my nails were running bold, because I knew I was going to do Unfiltered, which was that bold. I made the cover art and then I just updated my website and said Unprecedented recorded live at Twilight Lounge on 12/23/21 at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I announced it was just posting my Facebook telling everybody, hey, my website's acting weird, can you go look at it?
Oh.
And that's how I let people know that I was recording an album that night.
Oh, that's great. Was everyone, was the audience well behaved? Like, were they a good audience?
So, yes and no. So, I was overwhelmed because a lot of people really did come out for it, but there was one table of hecklers, which you don't hear on the album, but they were just obnoxiously intoxicated. So, I actually stopped the show about 3 times, asking them to move to the back, but they thought they were helpful, but you can't tell. So Unprecedented was kind of just unannounced, winging it,
Mm-hmm. So wow, you really put, like, you know, obviously a whole lot into it, and just to be able to do that, and also, like, uplift other people, it's great, you know. Do you have, like, you probably have more stuff that you want to do, like, how are your close out stuff, like, is that still ongoing? That's great.
We just got a mention in the Dallas Observer. That was really nice. Fort Worth Weekly just put out an article a few weeks ago about the record label and all the records coming out. And we are going to be a part of the Hoosier Day Comedy Festival this year as well. Plus, I have my new show, Drag, that I've been just wildly excited about. So we do Swifty Night now as well. That's another ongoing quarterly event, is the Swifty Night for the Taylor Swift fans, which has been so much fun. And then Dragged is a character roast battle. It's scandalous, it's slanderous, it's a full attack on characters. We do these theme shows where we all come up in costume and roast each other in character. And we have some interactive games, we have some conflict moments, we have lip sync battles, we have the drag performers, and then we have the comedians. It's really, really, like, they're a huge production, but I've been just absolutely blown away every single time, because we don't rehearse them. Everybody just comes in and does their best, and we have an incredible DJ who runs the laser system and puts together these really incredible intros for us. So DJ Forrest at AC51 Club really helps elevate the quality of the show that we put on, because we have this, like, phenomenal light show and smoke and fog.
Oh my god, that's
really
awesome.
They're really, really neat. So we did Marvel in February, we did Disney in June, and now coming up in October, we're doing Drag, the Harry Potter edition.
Wow.
And then we'll do Christmas in December. So, yeah, I do these really, really big, I mean, obviously we have, like, those regular stand-up comedy showcases that we've done at the Addison Improv and the Arlington Improv and, you know, major comedy clubs around the area, but then I also have this really big themed Vegas style show that I do every third Thursday with the comedy and the drag and music and stuff in Arlington, Texas.
Right. Yeah, I love the inclusion of drag in comedy. I've seen it a lot, and I think it's a great thing. I think it's, you know, it's very similar, just like sort of the motive of it, the motivation, and like it's just all just self-expression.
It's a diverse and inclusive brand, and it's also just very much who I am, and mm-hmm. the things that I've always enjoyed, and I've always wanted to bring that to the drag show when I was like, I think 11 in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And this has always been the places that I hang out. So the first, I think only the first two Flaws Out comedy shows, or maybe just the first one, were all female shows. Honestly, it might have just been the first one. I've always had a lot of women book through Flaws Out because women are funny. And that is, like, part of the brand is to elevate women as female performers. But that doesn't necessarily come with excluding everybody else. You don't have to exclude everyone else to just elevate, you know, femme entertainers. So,
right.
When I started Falls Out September of 2019, you know, I quickly pivoted to including a lot of different people, and I closed the year in December 2019 with a big comedy and drag variety show with a musician. I had a comedy musician, I had three drag queens, and then I had Right. Out really, truly has just been growing into what it's always been.
Right.
Nothing's changed too much since its inception, but I'm happy to see the growth, and I'm happy to be part of it. Because while it's my thing, it's definitely bigger than me. Falling out has affected a lot of people's lives in a positive way. Positive way.
Right. Did you have any... Yeah. I know that Texas is a little bit red. Did you have any pushback or anything with any of the LGBTQ stuff you were trying to do? Or was it mostly your area was, like, good with it?
I have not personally experienced anything in regards to our shows. Our shows are also, you know, they're 21 up, and we only do comedy and drag at 1851 Club, which is the only gay bar in Arlington.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I would always be worried about that, just how things are. It's terrible. It's just, like, awful.
We do a lot to ensure the safety of our performers on the back end. We have a lot in our production that helps to guarantee safety. We have a lot of eyes in the room. We also, I mean, proudly, we work with a lot of military performers, so I always have that extra level of security that I personally feel just knowing that I've got, you know, some Marines and Air Force.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, too, and, you know, it's always good to stack the deck with a ton of different acts and people, and just, that's one of the greatest things about comedy, is just having everything, like, involved, and it's different voices.
You know, I produce a lot of different events, and I have, like, a different show format, and I've just, you know, I try to make sure that the shows live at the venue.
That's really great, and...
We've been comedy and drag in a few different places, but it absolutely lived at 1851
Club.
That's the most magical place for those shows to be
so beautiful. Oh, that's really great, and I love just hearing all this stuff that you're doing. It's great. Do you have, like... I know you kind of are working on a lot of stuff, but do you have anything, like any upcoming stuff that you're kind of doing, like right now?
Yeah, so right now, big things on the docket from the rest of the year are, I'm currently working on some other stuff for the label, for the signed artists. We've done a few more projects that will be coming out this year that are in process. But obviously, Unfiltered, coming out on October 27th. That's my third album that I am very proud of and very excited for people to hear. Mm-hmm. And whenever people listen, just know it was recorded at just the worst time of my life. Also, it was very stressful to get that album recorded because the venue that we recorded at had actually gotten sold like 3 days before.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of additional pressure based on some production factors. For
right,
that. And
yeah.
I'll be in Dallas Comedy Club Friday. I'll be at Dallas Comedy Club for a show on Friday, and then the claws out. The biggest things that we have coming up are the Taylor Swift Comedy Night, which is going to be on September 21st at 1851 Club in Arlington. Tickets are on sale and moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Drag, which is a big Harry Potter event on October 19th. And I will also be headlining in Fort Worth at the Cicada on October 13th. And tickets are technically on sale for that now as well. And that'll be a big show. And then we've also been doing corporate events and stuff, which is nice. We stay very busy.
Right. Is corporate, like, are corporate events kind of hard, or are they, like, kind of a relief of, like, you can do other stuff than you usually do?
No, corporate events are fine. I mean, it's just a different
Right.
People have been very responsive to the brand and what we stand for and what we do with creating space and moving entertainment to carve out a space for everybody to be and to normalize conversations about mental health. So, corporate events have been incredibly lovely so far. And, we've done country clubs and we just did something at the Gaylord Tech and Convention Center, which was a really big deal. That was really neat. And then October 13th, so actually we have two events on October 13th. Can't wait to see what this is. I'll be performing at a mental health conference at a church.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And then about 2 hours later, going to headline at Fort Worth's new female-owned venue that is absolutely gorgeous, called the Cicada in Fort Worth, Texas.
That's so cool, just to be able to do all that and see that. I was curious, I don't know if this is maybe something you would ever do. Have you ever thought about doing a memoir?
I don't know if I have enough to remember yet. Maybe one day. I do have a lot of video. I don't think this is so much a secret project at this point. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And then go out and do all of the things that happened with the legal side of it, and then coming back. And I think I got home, and then the next day performed at the Madison Improv.
Oh.
I drove 18 hours and then came back and did another show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And just the, like, I can't imagine, like, going on stage with all that going on, and I really commend you a lot, because that's probably just what you do, it's like, it comes natural. Like, you feel like on stage you've kind of reached, like, a part where you're very comfortable, or is it still something that you feel like you can work on stuff?
I mean, you can always be better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just realized that I sound so much different. Like, vocally, I do not sound the same that I sounded on Unstable. And that album ended with the Blood on My Hands group therapy joke.
Right.
And I was so nervous at the time to talk about mental health. And so in between Unstable and Unprecedented, just so much happened that caused me to develop as a person and as a performer. So just vocally, I sounded so different that I felt it was necessary to put out something, because albums are a way to document your growth and, like,
right,
the chapter of your life. So, and I'm so glad that Unstable exists, because everything changed in my life after I put that album out. I got a new diagnosis, I got a new house, I got a new set of problems that I then talk about on Unfiltered.
Right.
A lot of things change, but Unstable still means a lot to a lot of people, and there's still funny jokes. But if I had waited to record it, I might not have said those jokes, because everything changed for me.
Right.
So, I think that it's nice to be able to document those things. But I think maybe the most interesting thing is that mental health is now my safe space in a comedy set.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I feel relatively unfazed by anything that could happen at a comedy show at this point.
Right.
Because, of all the trauma,
Yeah.
Thank God for all that trauma.
Right.
It doesn't really affect me in a negative way when it comes to performing. Like, there's just nothing anybody can do to throw me.
Right. That's great.
And I also feel more comfortable, too, now that all of
yeah.
Right. Up until that point, it was just very nerve-wracking to think that somebody might secretly be recording you, or that, like, your joke isn't quite where you want it to be yet, because as much as I can, I try to stay in control of how my jokes are received by the general public.
Right. Right. Do you do a lot of, like, I don't know if it's, like, meet and greet stuff, but, like, do you get a lot of, like, people that come up to you and, like, try to talk to you about this stuff and, like, maybe thank you for, like, putting your perspective in it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mostly women that will cry and hug me after shows, or I get cornered in a bathroom somewhere. But that's actually always been my experience. While we're talking about it, that's what gave me the courage to continue talking about mental health on stage. Is the first time I ever did that group therapy joke, I'd written all of it, but I had never finished it on stage, because I would say that I had bipolar disorder, and then people would get weird, and then I would say, yep, you're right, it's weird, and then I would just panic and go into a dirty joke, and I would just move the joke. Right, that's great to have that. Right. So that's been an interesting journey to go from just, like, the writing process of I have to get this out because I cannot keep it inside my brain or I will fester and explode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of people. I mean, there's a couple of people now who do it, like Chris Gethard and, like, her. And, you know, it's just such a tough thing. Like, I talk about it a little bit, too. And it's a tough thing because you're just like, am I going to lose them? How am I going to put this? But also the good thing is, I think it's a lot more people just are aware of stuff now. And they have their own experiences. Right.
Because really, before 2021, that's just not something people were super comfortable and open to talking about. And I know that a big part of people being comfortable, you know, in my community is because I'm so aggressively creating the safe space for people to work out this dark material and to, you know, you can come out on a Wednesday night, you're cured for depression any day of the month on a Wednesday. You can hear people say, who's
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I've personally done a lot to create safe spaces where people are open and connect in that way. So that's been nice. One of my favorite things about Falls Out shows is after comedians get off stage, you'll hear audience members talking to them in depth about their diagnosis and their doctors and their experience. And then halfway through the conversation, you hear somebody go, "Wait, what was your name again?"
Ah. Right. Yeah.
Because people get so excited to just connect with somebody that has a shared experience with them. So that's been really rewarding to watch happen in real time with Fall Out.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool to have that connection with people and just be like, okay, I'm getting somewhere with this. And actually, like you said, like, to actually get that, it's, like, more important. I think that's a great thing with your comedy is you're not just entertaining people, you're really reaching out and, like, doing it in an earnest way. I really admire that.
Thank you so much. It's very validating. It's been a lot to look back on the last 2 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been trial by fire, so to say.
Right. Yeah. And I imagine it can't be, you know, easy to go through that stuff and, like, to me, I've always been able to, when I get on stage, like, I kind of kick myself that I'm not able to, like, turn that off. And, like, I'm always, whatever I feel during life, if I have a bad day or whatever, I always keep that same energy on stage, which is, like, an up and a down type of thing. Because, like, I shouldn't be able to, like, hold it together and do my jokes. But it's also good to, like, just go up there and be myself and be like, this is what I'm feeling right now. Yeah.
Where I go out and I'll just tell everybody, I have the worst day. Anybody else?
Right.
You know, and just start from that point where you're being honest. but yeah, I don't know. I feel very confident at this point in my life, just based on the perspective that I've gained in the last year in particular.
Right. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. Oh.
So, you know, I went to the next worst thing. So that joke kind of does exist because of the estate stuff, which is an interesting thing about that joke.
Do you have anyone that's...
Yeah, I'd only done it like 6 times, I think. I'd only done it a handful of times at all.
Oh, really? That's so surprising, and just, like, you seem to put out, like, a fair amount of stuff online. Is that sort of hard to do, to be like, oh, I want to save this for the album, or, like, what I kind of want to put it out? Like, how's that sort of process?
So I mostly do not share jokes online unless they have been copywritten already.
Oh.
Unfiltered has been finished since, I don't know, February. So the album is coming out in October. I've been done with.
Right.
So it's weird for me, too, to put out these clips from that show last year because I feel a lot better now with who I am as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of the material that I've written that's new. So I just didn't want to step on unprecedented because I've written too much too quickly, which...
Mm-hmm.
Isn't a brag. It's just the reality of
No.
I had a third full album done before Unprecedented was 1 year old, so I refused to put it out until there'd been enough time between Unprecedented and Unfiltered. And mm-hmm. I was doing all the video editing for it as well and the audio and stuff. So yeah, the stuff that I put out online is really stuff that's already available on Spotify or will be soon.
Right. I think the last thing I saw was your joke about guys, of like, whenever you see, like, a guy come into a room, it's like, if you can trust them.
The spider joke,
yeah.
That one's brand new, but I knew that it would upset some people on the internet.
Yeah, I figured.
It's my first time ever saying it. That's why
Right. Right.
When it's material about my assault, yeah, I'd like to make sure I own that. You know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like, what outward moments and that kind of stuff. Ah.
Right.
If this is something that I know that the internet will enjoy or get mad about, I'll just go ahead and
right. And with that, like, it's still, it always annoys me. I'll see it on, you know, TikTok or really Facebook or anywhere when a comedian clip of a woman is shown. And just the vitriol that comes out, I'm just like, I don't get this at all.
Oh, just the most single teenagers, right?
Yeah. I'm like, is this trolling? Is this a bit? Or is this like, do you actually feel this way? It's like,
yeah,
it's like someone needs to show this to your mother. This is not...
Oh,
I can imagine.
I don't care anymore. I used to care. It used to affect my mental health. It doesn't
right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's a positive spin on being deeply betrayed by people who were very close to you.
Right. Well, that...
It doesn't matter what a kid on the internet says, you know.
Right. It still is, you know, jarring to look at, to me and my... Personally. Because I think I'm just, like, such, like, a person who's, like, I love comedy and I love seeing from people. And obviously I have favorite women comics. I never, like... separate, like, oh, this is a male comedy and female comedy. It just annoys me so much, it gets on my nerves. Of like,
well,
why are people like this?
What's interesting about the spider joke in particular, since you brought that one up. So the joke, really, it's so short. It's just, I feel the same way about spiders that I, well, I feel the same way about men that I do about spiders. You know, I get it, you're just an ecosystem, you got a lot of disqualities, but every time I see one in a room and I'm not expecting it, I'm like, okay, so you're going to there's not actually anything gendered in the language of that
no.
Joke. It just happens that I'm a woman saying it. So what was very interesting was like a lot of people in the comments saying this is a defense, which is not the defense I think they think it is. They're like, well, men kill men too. And I'm like, okay.
Right. That's just more proof that...
I'm like, I don't know if that's
Right. That's not exactly a positive to say. No, I don't think there's that. I think it's funny enough, personally, and I think it's, you know, written enough, like, from the perspective that it is in a proper way. Like, I don't think there's... I wouldn't be offended by that. But also, like, my thing is, like... Right, exactly. Like, it's sort of like a telling, like, thing of... what you are, and it's like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's just such a jokey joke. It was a Monday night, there were like three people there, I was like, ah, this is unsustainable. I wasn't planning on going up, and I was just like, oh, I'll do this.
Right.
But yeah, the amount of, well, what's also interesting is what, so here's something that does bother me,
Right.
People just try to attack my appearance in one way or another. But I'm very confident in who I am. And
oh, yeah.
I think I'm beautiful. And it really bothers me when people will come on and try to say that I'm fat.
Oh,
number one,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being fat. But number two, I don't want, you know, some women to go through these comments and go, oh, all these people think she's fat, but I look like her or I'm bigger than her.
Right.
Like,
right.
Unless you're going to cost me double-digit thousands of dollars and not give me my grandfather's military flag and make me fly across the country or drive across the country multiple times for a legal battle that could have been
right.
Like, well, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've ascended.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, you think it's fat? You're single. I don't care.
Right, exactly.
I would never touch or look at these people twice. I'm happily married.
Right.
I know what it's like to look at the internet and compare yourself to other people. That's why in 2020, I Ah. And the responses were wild. Like, I did it as an experiment for the podcast episode, but I just never followed anybody back after that. So I was like, this is insane. The responses that I received from that were wild.
Oh, wow.
I had phone calls. I had text messages. I had people so anxiously asking if I was mad at them. I had, like, because I had the unfollow app tracker or whatever, where you could
oh, wow. Yeah.
So, like, through that unfollow app, I saw that not only did people unfriend me immediately back, a lot of people went and unliked every picture of mine that ever engaged.
Oh.
Wild. It was really, like, it was a very interesting week. But, yeah. I only follow Claude.com and his account and my cat.
Yeah. Likeability can be such a weird thing. Of, you know, I'll have like an interaction before I go on stage and I'll be like, it doesn't matter what I do on stage, this person's not gonna like me. Like, if you're good at like music or something, you can play the guitar pretty well. People will have to at least admit you can play the guitar. When you do comedy after you have a bad interaction with someone socially, it's just like, oh, they're gonna hate you forever and they're gonna hate that people like you.
Yeah, you know, I don't care.
Right, yeah. You're better than me.
I
don't care.
I'm
going to
show up in a pink track suit and have a fun, good time wherever.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I have some tracks, depending on the venue. I have different tracks for different venues at the time of my life.
Yeah, that's really cool that you sort of have that thing, that, like, outfit. It's like, it sets you apart, and that must be great. Do you ever feel like me, this is a silly question, but do you ever feel like you would, like, sell your own sort of tracksuits? Mm-hmm.
The truth is that I just, like, I had such a horrific experience with that entire legal battle and, like, you know, having to fight tooth and nail to get some of my childhood toys that, like, I couldn't get everything. So, at this point in my life, I have adult money. I'm 31 years old. I'd like to just buy all the things I wanted when I was a kid or, like, get the things that I had when I was a kid that I wasn't able to get through that.
Right.
So, tracksuit was, like, my first big, like, I saw it on sale at a JCPenney, put it on my body, was like, this is comfortable, done.
Right.
Every color, move on. Because it also, like, they're fun to put on, people enjoy seeing them. Like, the joy that the tracksuit brings to others, I could not deprive anyone of.
Right.
And then just the comfortable, and it's nice as a woman to not have to constantly worry about what I'm going to wear on stage and what I look like from every angle.
Oh, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
It fits right. And, like, I've got to wear those orthopedic shoes, too, because I've got, you know, the bone deformity that I talked about on a table. So,
oh, yeah.
It looks okay with the footwear that I medically have to wear, so that's a big
right.
part of it. But, yeah, I didn't necessarily do that to be different or to, like, have a uniform. I just did it because that was something that was healing for me. And I'd also released Millennial Trash, a Coloring Book for Former Gifted Kids.
Right.
Maybe one day Juicy will sponsor me. I'm impressed that they've not responded to any of my followers' comments on videos I've posted.
Oh, wow.
They get tagged a lot for this stuff.
Oh, wow. That's cool, though.
My own tracksuit line would be super cute. Somebody told me that if I do another coloring book, I need to release a bunch of paper dolls and have different interchangeable tracksuits.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I didn't have the money for a Juicy tracksuit when I was growing up, and I went to Catholic school and had to wear a uniform for most of my life. So
oh, wow.
I didn't wear pants until the 8th grade, so it was like a big deal for me to be able to wear pants at all.
Right. So you were raised
in...
I mean, I know this is kind of a whole other subject, and I want to finish wrapping up, but you were raised in a pretty religious, like, upbringing?
Mm-hmm. So the first single that I put out from Unfiltered is called At the Beginning, and I released that on Good Friday.
Ah.
All the jokes about the religion stuff.
Are you still connected to it, or is it something that you sort of aren't really into?
And I, in my set recently this year, I've actually been, I said it off the cuff one night in Oklahoma at a show, but I need to chase down the feeling because it's true. I have a lot of bitterness about my mental health being disguised under religious phrasing. So, like, for instance, when I would experience mania or depression, I was being told by church members that I was demonically oppressed or that I was on a spiritual high.
No, that's
big pharma, not big God.
I can't even imagine that, like, as someone, like, I personally dealt with mania, and it's a crazy thing. Like, I still get it once in a while, and it's just like, I don't know how how people who deal with it constantly deal with it. Oh, that's great.
Which couldn't have come at a better time, because then, I do still struggle, obviously, with depression and anxiety. I'm normal and all.
Oh, yeah, me too. Right.
Yeah, I'm no longer religious, but I would never say I'm an atheist. Mm-hmm. We probably live in a simulation.
Right.
And I think everyone needs to be kind to each other. I think that a lot of the teachings in the Bible are still good ways to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Golden rule, right?
Right. Yeah, I
I have to not only do this as a job, mm-hmm.
Right. What's her name?
Same way, I appreciate you letting me share my story on your channel. I appreciate it.
What's her name? The one with the back brace?
So Ruth Banks, her album last year that we released was called Screwed. And she talked about the spinal surgery that she had to have in college.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting is with Ruth, Ruth has very much had similar experiences to me in terms of between albums and everything.
Right.
So, like, a lot of Screwed talked about her spinal surgery and, not being able to get a breast reduction and all these medical issues.
Right, she's the one with it.
Pretty much after releasing it, she was able to get a breast reduction. And mm-hmm. she ended up having to have this traumatic spinal surgery again. And so one of the last days that she was in her back brace, we ended up recording this special that's going to come on, after Screwed. We're working on it right now. I'm really excited to try to present that to the world, because I think it's special. Like, I could not be more proud of Ruth. And that's the other thing, like, the people that I work with and my friends that I really pour a lot of time and energy
Right.
And think that the world
that's great. Here
for me. So I don't want to just go to the top alone. I'm trying to drag a lot of people with me.
Right. It's the same, like, kind of thing I have with this podcast. It's like, I do get to have, you know, it's very lucky that I get to have headliners like you from all different places. But also, it's, like, mostly, like, New Jersey people. Because just, it's so hard for people to branch out and break out in comedy and get that. So, to be able to lift people up is, like, a great opportunity.
Yeah, well, I came down here from Fort Wayne to Fort Worth with nothing. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I definitely clawed my way to where I am today.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well,
And for social media and stuff, if people want to follow along on the journey, I do have a Patreon now.
Oh.
For Mana Comedy, and I post some behind-the-scenes footage of all my shows. And then Clawed Out has a Patreon as well, but the best way to support Clawed Out is definitely by buying the album, streaming them, checking out claw.com, joining the newsletter to never miss what's going on. Because I know that we have fans in different places, so not everybody can come, you know, support mm-hmm. Taylor Swift show or support the drag Harry Potter edition, but right. You know, they can listen to Latrice Wilkerson's album. They can listen to Rook's new special when it comes out. They can pre-save or pre-order Unfiltered, you know?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for doing this, and I hope you have a nice rest of your day. And everything.
Thank you so much. Yeah. You as well. And as always, bad bitches can be sad bitches.
Right. Love that. Bye.